Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Jason Coleman, and you are listening to Things That Make You Go, Book Review Podcast. And I'm your host, Jason Coleman, the One Man Book Club. This is Things That Make You Go, Book Review Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Today, we are going to be talking a bit about the concept of minimalism. So I'm actually going to be reviewing two books today, but they both deal with the concept of minimalism. And the first one is called Goodbye Things, The New Japanese Minimalism by Fumio Sasaki. And then I'm going to be, but I'm also simultaneously going to be talking about The More of Less by Joshua Becker. And as you can probably imagine by the author's names, one kind of deals more with a single guy in Japan who was had a bit of a hoarding instinct, meaning that he liked to collect a lot of things and he was just very attached to his stuff. Much like I think most people are, certainly how I have been at times with things in my life. And then the other one, Joshua Becker, is kind of more of a, I guess, middle America, typical U.S. family, kind of a middle-aged married guy. He has two young children, and he just talks about his own journeys with minimalism and what prompted it and stuff like that. So what I'm going to hope to do in this podcast is I'm going to keep it relatively short, but I just kind of want to talk a little bit about what were some of the highlights of the books and maybe something that people can take away from the whole experience. Now, I want to start off a little bit with my own personal misconceptions about what minimalism, what I thought it was. And basically what I thought minimalism was is a rejection of all possessions. So, and I think that there is a part of that in minimalism. So basically you try to get rid of everything that you own except for the absolute bare essentials. This actually is something that I've been trying to practice through most of my life. I had a bit of a topsy-turvy childhood. I don't want to get into it too much right now, but I was moving around a lot. I was living with different parents, different family members, and so I never really became necessarily attached to a lot of things myself. I mean, I think I've always been a bit of a natural minimalist, but my wife, on the other hand, is, she grew up in, very poor circumstances. Her family, was on welfare from time to time, didn't have very much money growing up. So she was always, very attached to things. And it took her a long, she had to save up all of her money, whenever she could get like money for things in order to buy things. So she just became very attached to stuff. And that's actually psychologically stayed with her for many years. And that's actually been one of the few sources of disagreements between my wife and I, is over her hoarding instincts with things that she absolutely doesn't need. And I've been telling her about this for years, and she's been listening and she agrees, but it's just been very difficult for her to let go of those things. And I think about a cousin that I have who I visit from time to time, and him and his wife, they have very strong hoarding instincts as well. And if you go into, I remember I went into their backyard one time and I opened up a trash can to throw something away. I thought it was a trash can, but inside of the trash can was quite literally from top to bottom the whole trash can was full of shopping bags. And so they weren't able to like throw away shopping bags. And I think in California that problem's been rectified a bit, because now mostly plastic shopping bags aren't given out at grocery stores anymore. But up until, a few years ago, like they couldn't even bring themselves to throw that away. And I think on some level, that's admirable in the sense that, you don't want to waste anything. But I think we live in such an abundant society in so many ways that it's very easy to get and replace things that we just wind up saving things that aren't necessarily needed to be saved. And one of the things that I think about sometimes, and I forget where I read it, it wasn't from these books, but when you have items in your home that aren't being used, they actually are costing you money if you think about it, because they're taking up very limited resource space, especially if you live in a place that is short on land, available land, such as Southern California, where I live. So everything that you own, every piece of, you know, unnecessary kitchen gadgets or clothing that's not being worn or makeup or hobbying materials or whatever the case is, that's all taking up your limited space. Okay. So in a sense, that actually it is costing you money to keep these items that don't belong. But that's there are other benefits to reducing the amount of things that you own as well, and I'll talk about that in a moment. So as it turns out, my wife wound up reading the book Goodbye Things by Fumio Sasaki, and after that, I don't know what happened. I really wish I could meet the author one day so I could thank him, but it spurred some sort of a change in her. Like, for the first time in years, the dining room, I came home one day and the dining room table was completely cleared off. I haven't seen that in years. And she said that, she basically said a lot of the same things that I thought I was saying, but she wasn't hearing me when I said it. But, you know, she said that these things weren't really bringing her any happiness, that they were, you know, a source of stress because of the clutter, and she wants to be clutter free. And so, I mean, I've been trying, this author was able to accomplish in a few hours what it took me several years to try to accomplish. So I you know, definitely want to thank him for it. But I think what was most meaningful is that she said that the clutter was a source of stress. And I think now we're starting to get to some of the benefits of minimalism, in that when you walk into a clean, relatively empty, non-cluttered space, it brings a sense of peace. It brings a sense of harmony. It allows you to relax. And I don't know that the psychological, the scientific, I don't know the explanations behind it. And maybe not everybody is like me, but when I walk into a cluttered space, I feel overwhelmed. If I walk into a space that just has a couch and, you know, maybe a table or something, I just feel at ease. Maybe you feel the same way. And Fumio Sasaki was saying that in Japan, you know, I'm complaining about the difficult, the limited space that we have here in Los Angeles, but he was saying that in Japan, it's much, much worse. I mean, if you're lucky if you can get a place that's, you know, 300 or 400 square feet. So the Japanese people have, you know, for their most of their existence, they have tried to become minimalist. They have, their rooms would have multi-purposes. Their food, I think they invented the futon, the couch that also doubles as a bed. Wall dividers that can separate rooms into different rooms. And so, you know, and apparently they were saying that through most of their feudal era, most people only owned like one or two robes and maybe a few, you know, farming items. And that was pretty much it. And so I don't know. And I know that at the turn of the century in America, homes did not even have closets. That was a recent invention to compensate for the amount of things that people were starting to accumulate, mostly in the 1950s and 60s. So I personally wanted to experience what that would be like to be able to not have all of this clutter around. And so even though I thought that I was good at reducing the amount of things that I had and living like mostly minimalist, I had to look around my house and realize that there were lots of things that I own that I don't really need, and mostly I don't want to get rid of them. And Sasaki talks about this. He says that there's generally one of three reasons why people don't want to get rid of things. Number one, because they have a psychological attachment to it. Number two, they're fearful that if they get rid of something, then they're going to have to replace it at some time in the future. Or number three, it's I think what behavioral economists like to call the sunk cost fallacy, where you are worried about losing all of the money that you've invested into something, so you wind up sticking with a bad investment. And that happens all the time. Everybody does that. It's the same reason why when a stock starts plummeting, you still hold on to it because it's just too painful to get rid of it. Or, you know, like a car that you paid a lot of money needs several repairs. It's probably cheaper to just replace the car, but you've already put so much money into the car, you can't stop. You know, home repairs, the list goes on and on. I think my favorite example is the slot machine, where you've started investing so much money into the slot machine that you don't want to walk away from it, because if you do, then, you know, all that money that you put into the slot machine, the very next person who's going to come is going to sit down, pull the lever once and win a bunch of money. So you just stick with it. Just one more pull, you know. So those are the three reasons why people don't want to get rid of stuff. And I had to challenge myself the other day because, excuse me, I was in the kitchen and I noticed, and I pulled open one of my drawers and I noticed that I had two very nice bottle openers. You know, it was kind of one of those Swiss Army knife bottle openers where it has a corkscrew, it has a bottle opener, it has a, you know, a nifty little cutting device. And I had two of them. I think one of them was a gift, and I think one of them I had bought a few years ago. And they're, you know, they're both, you know, metal plated, so they were nice. I didn't really want to get rid of them. But I had to realize that I would be happier with less stuff. So I got rid of the bottle opener. And I felt, it was interesting because I felt a sense of, like, you know, I felt anguish when I was trying to get rid of it. But once it was in the trash can, I felt a sense of relief. And I believe that's where we need to go with things, is we have to understand that very rarely, and Sasaki talks about this, very rarely when we get rid of something do we wish that we had it back. And he quotes this other book that I also want to read by, I want to say her name's Mary Kondo, and she also wrote a book about how to get rid of things. And she was saying that you have to ask yourself with every item that, does it bring you happiness? And she uses the heck yes or heck no. If it's not a heck yes, I must keep the item, then it's a heck no, it's got to go. So I think what I'm going to try to do personally to try to increase my routine for minimalism, and I'm happy now that my wife is on board with this so we can be a little bit more of a team, is I'm just going to spend, you know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes every week just walking through that my house and looking for things that haven't been in use in a while and probably just get rid of them. I heard that, what did they say, that if you haven't used something in over a year, there's a pretty good chance that it's not going to be used anymore. And I don't want to be like so many people I've seen, like most of my neighbors, they open up their garage. And as soon as they open up their garage, you just see so much stuff in the garage that you can't even park a vehicle because the garage is blocked. And if you're getting to that point in your life, you have to ask yourself, what is the reason that you're holding on to these things? Maybe it's just that we, and I think if you read Daniel Gilbert's book, Stumbling on Happiness, he talks a lot about this too, that very often what we like to do is we like to envision a future self, and we see our future self using all of these items and, you know, creating this sort of life with all of this stuff that's not being used. We're not going to use it now, but the future self will use it. But in reality, the future self never comes to pass. The future self never happens. The future self is the present self. And if the present self isn't using the stuff, it really should go. I believe that people will feel better. And I think of the metaphor that I was using with a buddy of mine. We were talking the other day, and I was saying that the metaphor that I had come up with is think of a wall, okay? And you have, you know, dozens and dozens of paintings that you really like and you want to hang them on the wall. At some point, you can only hang so many paintings before your other paintings are covering up what it is that you were originally hanging. So you have to ask yourself, Okay, if you want to clearly see those paintings that are most important to you, you have to limit the amount of paintings that you're putting up on the wall. And so I am definitely going to continue to do that, because I believe that when I am just focusing on those few items that are making me happy, I'm able to put the context of the worth of those things, in context. So that's what I'm going to be striving to do. And if you're kind of a little bit more, if you have, and granted, Sasaki is, he's single, he doesn't have children. If you want kind of more of a book that, if you have children and your house is kind of getting cluttered with a lot of toys and other kids things, you might like Joshua Becker's book a bit more. I know he has a popular blog too that's visited by many people, The More of Less, and he actually gives tips. Like, for example, he talks about how if your child has too many toys, then you can remove, you can buy like a child a toy chest and say, okay, once this toy chest becomes filled, any new toy you want me to buy, we're going to have to get rid of an old toy. And that actually teaches some responsibilities for the kids to begin to prioritize what items in their life are going to be important for them. Another thing that you can think about too, and I think Becker talks about this, but I thought this was kind of an interesting idea, is the parent could take some toys or take some other cluttery things and say, okay, I'm going to put this in a box. If you don't ask me to use this stuff in the next 6 months, then we're going to donate it. And that just really, I think, goes to show that it really makes people understand that this stuff isn't being used. All of the attachment is just psychological. The last anecdote I want to bring up is, I can remember when my wife and I bought a treadmill many years ago. The treadmill was since broken and we had to get rid of it. But we went to this woman's house and the treadmill was sitting in her driveway, and there was this little four-year-old that was really cute, and we were kind of talking to her for a little bit, and the mom was saying that she was going to sell the treadmill, and the little girl starts crying and pouting, and I said, or maybe she was little, maybe she was about six, and I said to her, I said, listen, you're going to be so happy when this treadmill is gone, because it's taking up all of this space in your backyard that you can be using for other things. And I don't know if the kid really bought into what I was saying or not, but she did stop crying, and she at least thought about what I was saying for a moment. But what I was, you know, really fascinated by, especially when I look back on it, is how early we begin to develop these attachments to things. It's getting rid of things is almost unnatural if you think about it. So just understand that if you're having difficulties starting your journeys to minimalism, just start small. Start with a couple things. Work your way up. At some point, it'll become easier. And understand that it's difficult. If it were easy to be a minimalist, most people would be minimalists. But I do believe that for the vast majority of people, you'll be so much happier when a lot of the stuff that's not being used is gone. Sasaki says that, you know, and he made like a list of like thousands of things. He got rid of his television. He got rid of, a lot of his clothes. He got rid of his guitar, just like all of these things. And he says that he does not regret the only thing that he bought. Again, there was one item. He said he had a foot massager that he really likes to use because he's on his feet a lot at his job. He rebought a foot massager that he had. And he says, other than that, he doesn't miss the items. He doesn't want them back. He says he's glad they're gone. And I think that will be the case for most people. All right. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up again. If you would like to consider the benefits of a life of minimalism, then I recommend The More of Less by Joshua Becker, or Goodbye Things, The New Japanese Minimalism. I'm sorry again it took me so long to get another podcast out to you. It's just been life and stuff and the school year starting for me. You know, I work as a public school teacher. I've just been buried under a million things. But I am going to make an effort to be a little bit more diligent trying to get you out a podcast at least once a month, if not twice a month. Again, if you're able to, you know, leave a positive review on iTunes or Stitcher. It's always helpful for me when my audience is growing. It feels good to let me know that other people are listening and interested in some of the things I have to say about these books. okay, that's all for me. Until then, happy reading.